ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Vishnu Sahasranam, name 403, Shaktimatam Sreshtaha, Sreshtam, which means the best of those who possess power. I was going to say this is a very important name. Actually, all the names are very important names. But this name is particularly important to understand who is supreme, how he is supreme. Because many people say God is the supreme power. And there's a whole group within Vedic culture or Hindu culture who are technically called Shaktas, who worship the energy as supreme. A recent manifestation of which is in Tamil Nadu the Om Shakti cult. I don't think they have any pretensions to any high philosophical or any philosophical understanding, but basically the idea is that Shakti is supreme. There is a scripture of sorts called the Devi Bhagavat, in which it's stated how Devi, Shakti, Amma, in your language, is supreme, and everything emanates from her, and Vishnu bows down before her, and so on. It's more or less the Srimad Bhagavatam rewritten. It has all the same stories. It's not a bona fide Shastra, but it's taken seriously by people who want to be in Maya. People who want to be under the control of Shakti, who is Maya, the external energy, they laud her as supreme. And another common concept which goes with the idea as God is this supreme power is that it was just a power. When we speak of power or energy, it's impersonal. For instance, heat, light, strength, that's also impersonal, but there is the strong person. Balang balavatam chaham, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the strength of the strong. Similarly, tejas tejasvinamaham, he says, I am the vigor of the vigorous. So the idea by saying God is the supreme power gives an idea that God or the supreme is not a person, it's simply some impersonal energy. So this name is very important because it establishes that the supreme is not the supreme power, but the supreme powerful. The complete understanding is given in Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutras, one of the Vedanta Sutras. Shakti, Shaktimator, Abheda. That the energy and the possessor of the energy are non-different. So if someone says Shakti is supreme, we can agree, but you just have to understand a little more to make that understanding perfect. It's only a little bit more to understand, but it makes a very big difference. That energy is supreme in combination with the energetic. So this indicates Lakshmi Narayana, Radha Krishna, Sitaram. We have to acknowledge the personality of the supreme. That Krishna is not simply a manifestation of the supreme. He is the supreme and everything else is a manifestation of him. This understanding is the whole basis of Vaishnava Dharma. Sometimes people wonder, well, why are we always against these impersonalists? They will also agree to worship Krishna. They'll also say Hare Krishna. Maybe. Not with the enthusiasm of the devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna. But their understanding is unclear, and they want to keep it that way. But the Vaishnava's understanding is very clear. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the possessor and the controller of all energies. So there are many powerful people, no doubt. Here in Tamil Nadu, maybe not in this part so much, but the worship of Murugan is very popular. That's more if you go south, is it? Yeah. There's Palani is a big temple.
Palani
is a big temple of Murugan, and in
Tiruchandra,
two big temples. So in the area in between, there are many votaries of Murugan, who is very powerful, who was born to fight. Sometimes we say in English, someone is born, if they're good at something, we say they're born to play music or they're born to dance, but Murugan was actually born to fight. He was actually born for that very purpose. Now, undoubtedly, he was born to lead the demigods' army against the demons. And the demigods are very powerful, no doubt. But in this instance, they required someone even more powerful. So he was born of Shiva and Shakti. They may ask, well, why didn't Shiva himself take part in and fight for the demigods? Well, even though he is Mahadev, the great god, if he's going to fight, he is just as good a chance or more chance he'll fight with the demons, because they worship him. Just like when Krishna was fighting against Banasura, then all the demigods and demons, they all came, and Shiva was on the side of the demons. So we're talking about very, very powerful people here. But whatever power anyone has in this world is only a small, even the great demigods, it's only a small reflection of the power of Krishna. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam eva va tat tat eva vagaccho tvam mamatejong sa sambhavam. Krishna says that whatever powerful, opulent, whatever manifestation of greatness you see in this world is only a tiny, it's a manifestation of a tiny speck of my power. So there are many powerful people. Here in Chennai, Stalin is powerful. He's the mayor of Chennai still?
No,
he's out. He's still powerful, I guess. Stalin, anywhere outside of Tamil Nadu, if you say Stalin, they think of the much more powerful dictator of Russia, who's now, who knows, maybe one of the mosquitoes that bit you last night. So the Tamil Stalin is, he's still powerful, no doubt, in fighting with Hitler. That's the past Stalin and Hitler fought with each other, and now the present Stalin and Hitler are also fighting with each other. Is it not? Yeah. This is local politics. And more powerful than them at the present time is Shakti, I guess, Amma. Here referring to a certain film star turned politician. But the High Court of Bangalore is more powerful than her, it seems. It's not absolutely confirmed yet. And then, Gujarati Chaiwala is now more powerful than anyone else in India, it seems. He was recently voted as the 15th most powerful person in the world. And one number one was Gospodin Vladimir Putin, the head of the Russian Federation. So they're powerful people, huh? Much more powerful than any of us. But the power of any of them is insignificant in comparison to the demigods in heaven. And young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavai, all the demigods in heaven, they offer prayers to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why do they do that? They know he's more powerful. We only pray to someone if we know they're more powerful. So all the demigods, they recognize that although they are powerful, the most powerful is Krishna. So this should be preached widely. Krishna is supreme. In the Upanishads, which one is that? Keno Upanishad? No. There's the story of the different demigods. The Yaksha came, and all the demigods wanted to show they're supreme. So he held a blade of grass. He said, Agni, can you burn it? No, he couldn't. With all his power, he couldn't burn it. And Vayu, can you blow it?
Vayu?
No, he couldn't. He was incapable of doing so. So in this way, all the different demigods tried to show their power. And eventually they understood that none of them were as powerful as they thought they were. So then it was understood that this person in the form of a yaksha is Vishnu. So he is the most powerful. Shrestha means the best. He's the best among the powerful. So the best among the powerful will generally be understood to mean that he has got more power than anyone else. But that can also be applied to how he uses his power. Someone may be very powerful, but they misuse that power. In fact, there's the saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Many people complain about how the politicians misuse their power. But the people who are complaining, they would do the same thing if they had the same opportunity. People, generally when they get power, they misuse it to exploit others. But Krishna has no motive to exploit anybody. All his power is used for the benefit of others. So we should understand that whatever happens to us, that's going on within the power of Krishna. Krishna knows what is best for us. He places us in various situations for our own benefit. So we see that Krishna comes to demonstrate that he's the most powerful. When great demons like Ravana come, then even the great demigods cannot subdue them. And great demons like Ravana think that they are the most powerful. Ravana, he didn't get the idea, but he might have to make the Ravana Sahasranama. And the name Shaktimatam Shrestha, the most powerful. That's me. Young Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Divyai, Stavai, all the demigods, they should pray to me. But then Krishna comes and in his various forms and shows them, come on, you're just a nonsense. This Ravana was so arrogant. And therefore Vishnu came in the form of a man, human, which he thought humans are just insignificant. I eat them for breakfast. And so it's very humiliating for Ravana that his whole army was overrun by a gang of monkeys. And he himself was killed by a human. If at all he was to be, of course he didn't think he could be killed, but he might have thought it would be somewhat honorable to be killed by Indra or some great demigod, but just some human that comes out of the jungle is very humiliating for him. And here Aranyaksha was killed by the Lord in the form of a boar. So those who are very proud of their strength, they should know that there is a power much, much greater than them. Kamala dala jala jivanar talamala. Our life, however powerful we may think we are, our life is just like a drop of water on a lotus leaf which can drop down any time. In the Second World War, General Patton was the head of the U.S. forces that invaded France. General Patton was his name. So along with the Allied forces, they invaded Normandy in France. And with great struggle and great loss of life, they overcame the Germans on the beaches. And they gradually pushed the German forces back and back into Germany. And General Patton is one of the greatest military figures of the 20th century. Very powerful leader of soldiers. And about 2 weeks after the defeat, the Germans had conceded defeat, he was killed in a car crash. Bombs and missiles and tanks and bullets. He survived it all. Then he died in a car crash. Everything is in this world is going on by the arrangement of Krishna's energy, Krishna's Shakti, Maya. And she is submissive to Krishna. Chayeva, she is just like a shadow, moves at the behest of the Supreme Powerful, Krishna. Alright, the next name is also a very, very important name. It's a word which is known to everyone, almost everyone, well, a large percentage of the population in this country, but understood by very few. The name is Dharma. So dharma is difficult to understand because the term subsumes a variety of concepts. It means virtue, and then niti. That also is difficult with translation because if you translate, I was going to say morality, which is in English it's different, but in Sanskritum it can be the same word, virtue and morality. There's subtle difference. Anyway, never mind. That's linguistic problems here. It means niti. It also means
monkeys.
Yeah, they're following their dharma. It also means riti. It means niti, virtue and morality. Also means riti, or just the way things go on. It is the sustaining principle of the universe, the harmonizing principle of the universe. It is the law of the universe, which is also the laws of the universe. They also are reified, which means put into put into an actual form, in the form of laws of humankind. That's why Manu Smriti is sometimes called Manava Dharma Smriti, which means the laws for mankind. So in that way it also means that which an individual should do, should adhere to. The root meaning of the term is that which sustains everything. Now, one reason why many people, not only today, but even in the history of Vedic culture, find it difficult to understand this term, is because they don't want to accept that Krishna is the sustainer of everything. That they have the idea that there's some impersonal force, again, Shakti, which is upholding everything. But actually, it is Krishna. And he manifests himself through his impersonal energies. But ultimately, dharma is non-different from him. Now, sometimes people say, well, how can Krishna be dharma? Maybe Ram is dharma, but not Krishna. Krishna is immoral. And sometimes people will blame Rama also. You see, he also banished his wife, and he had Lakshman cut off the nose of Sharpanaka. But Krishna is dharma. If you say that he is immoral to dance with the gopis, you are wrong. If you want to dance with the gopis, you are wrong. And Krishna is dancing with the gopis, that gives meaning to the... Otherwise, there's no meaning to the universe. People think, well, this universe is here, we should live in it very piously and follow dharma, and then we can live very nicely. But that thinking like that is adharma, because dharma means to be in harmony with Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So he comes to this world and demonstrates his pastimes, without which there'd be no meaning to the universe. Dharma without Krishna is impossible. The whole idea of trying to understand dharma without understanding Krishna is bizarre. If you try to understand the sunlight without understanding the sun, what will you understand? It's ridiculous. So, Krishna, whatever he does, that is dharma. Dharma, one understanding of that is the way we should act. So actually it is a fact that to dance with other people's wives is adharma, or immoral, or wrong, or improper. And that is true for everybody, except Krishna. Why is there an exception? Because Krishna is the one who is different to everyone else. He is the sustainer and all others are sustained. He is the enjoyer and all others are to serve his enjoyment. Without Krishna's dancing with the gopis and performing his various pastimes, without him performing his dharma in this way, then we could not perform our dharma. Our dharma is to serve Krishna. But unless Krishna enjoys, then how can we assist him in his enjoyment? Where is the service? The envious impersonalists, they want to stop all dharma and simply merge into the Absolute. They know they cannot come to the position of Vishnu, but they don't want to serve him, nor do they want to suffer in this material world. So they propose that there is an impersonal Absolute in which Krishna also doesn't exist. Because they cannot take the position of Krishna, because they do not want to submit to Krishna, they say in the ultimate... they don't want to take the position of Krishna and they don't want to serve Krishna. There's nothing left because there's only Krishna in the jivas. So either you're Krishna, which you're not, or you're a servant of Krishna. So they just want to make everything zero. Well, I can't be God. Well, Krishna can't be God also. And then make everything zero. This is all adharma. Real dharma is not just about being good and serving your parents and performing shraddha. Here in the southern part of India, the highest standard of dharma was demonstrated by the Tirumangai Alva, who, anyway, you all know the story. Seeing people reluctant to serve Vishnu, he forcibly engaged them in the service of Vishnu. So people, they want to make shakti, and just everything is impersonal. Dharma, just some principle. But Krishna personally appears and he is dharma, not just some principle, something we can intellectually discuss. Dharma is Krishna and he comes to establish dharma in human society. So he comes as Krishna, as Rama, as Nrsimha. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujami aham. When people forget that they have to act according to dharma, then dharma personally comes to set things right. So He sustains everything directly and indirectly. Dharmaṁ tu sākṣāt bhagavat pranītam. Dharma is manifested in this world as in human society as the rules which are given by the Supreme Lord. So we have to act according to dharma, and in this way we will be connected with Krishna. And when too many people act in a manner that is not according to the rules given by Krishna, then he may come personally to set the set society in proper order. Of course, that is not very pleasing to persons who are sworn to adharma. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that dharma is the inherent quality. For instance, if we think of sugar, the first thing we think of is sweetness. If we look at something and we think, oh, that's sugar, but we're not sure, then we taste it, and it may be salt. So that we can say the dharma of sugar is sweetness. The dharma of fire is heat. There's no question of fire without heat. So the dharma of every living being is to serve. That means the inherent quality of every living being is to serve. And the proper object of that service is Krishna. So the dharma is a very, very big discussion. In modern Indian languages, the word dharma has become misused to speak of Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, and so on. But that is a misuse of the term. It might be better to say Hindu matam or Christian matam, or the various opinions of various groups. Because whether one is a Hindu or a Christian, by external designation, everyone is by nature an eternal servant of Krishna. Keho mane, keho na mane, sabtar dash. Some people accept it and some people don't accept it, but everyone is his servant. So real dharma means to serve, and real dharma is Krishna. So Krishna is also non-different from devotional service. And for persons who are not up to the level of devotional service, they can begin by following the rules of Vedic society, for which purpose varnashram dharma is required. In human society, people can follow dharma if they follow the regulated divisions of four varnas and four ashrams. This is a system for regulating human society so that it may be channeled into service of Krishna. Varnashram acharavata purushena parapuman Vishnor aradhyate panta nanyat tatto shakaranam. The system of four varnas and four ashrams is meant for all human beings to worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and there's no other way to satisfy him for people who are not directly engaged in devotional service. So everything should be in proper order. In this material world, we have accepted adharma, we have accepted not to serve Krishna. The system of dharma is given to channel us back into doing what we should do, which is to serve Krishna. The last two names we discussed were Shaktimatam Sreshta and Dharma. So, and now that these two names can be understood co-jointly, inasmuch as Dharma means sustaining principle, and Krishna also maintains even those who are very powerful, they're actually being maintained and sustained by him.